So good afternoon and welcome to this retreat. I am Stephen, and therefore logically this is Martin, and we will be with you for the next week to follow this schedule of sitting and walking, interspersed with talks and discussion and also interviews that we will be offering throughout the period of time we'll have together. I'd just like to say a little bit by word of introduction to what we'll be doing for the rest of this week, particularly my own input into this. The important thing to remember, really, is that this will be a period of time outside of our ordinary everyday lives. It's a retreat in the sense that we are retreating from whatever we do normally, our work, our families, our other responsibilities in this country and at home. And a retreat is really an opportunity to step back, to take stock of one's life, of where one is at right now. And each of us, I imagine, will have a particular reason for coming here. Some of us may have some very specific, particular, personal reason, and I'm sure that will vary, so I won't even try to guess what that might be. Others, it may be simply an opportunity, a nice gap that's opened up in the year that you enjoy spending in this way. Some of you might be here because you have met us before, or you have come across our work and have an interest in what we may have to say about Buddhism and the Dhamma and meditation. But whatever the reason, we come here for a purpose. We come here with certain questions that are carried in our thoughts, and perhaps even more deeply than that. Some question about what our life is for, what life in general is for. And the retreat provides us with a set of conditions that enable us, hopefully, to reflect on such questions. This doesn't mean, though, that we're going to spend our whole time asking and worrying about some issues we might have at home, although I suspect those kinds of things are bound to come up, but rather a retreat somehow clears the space. We don't have the telephone ringing. Our portable phones are safely stored somewhere else, that we will be observing noble silence. So there won't be the constant possibility of chatting to someone or engaging in some conversation. We'll be very much on our own. Even though we are with many other people, at the same time, this community that we are creating here will also be one that allows us to go deeper into our own solitude, into our own bodies, into our own thoughts. The silence, in particular, is a very nourishing, a very nurturing environment. For those of you who haven't been on a silent retreat before, you might find it a little strange. It may, in fact, for some of you, be the first time that you've ever taken this opportunity to spend a whole week without talking. It might even seem a little intimidating. you might be a little bit anxious about it. And it's true that for the first couple of days it might appear a bit strange to be in a place with a lot of people you don't know, in a place that you're not familiar with, being taught to by people you don't know, and yet very little opportunity to voice your ideas and your reactions and your frustrations and your joys. Instead, we just stay with what our response to the situation is. The meditation, and we'll be giving instructions, Martine will be giving instructions in meditation on a daily basis. The meditation will hopefully become a space for you in which to discover a kind of intimacy with yourself, an intimacy that is not one that will necessarily always be very agreeable. In fact, it's very possible that the meditation might reveal to us things about ourselves that we'd rather not know. There's a kind of uncomfortable honesty about this practice. We sit here, we'll be sitting for periods of 30 and 45 minutes, and there's nowhere to run. That we are confronting ourselves in a very immediate, in a very unconditional way. And the practice will be teaching, the practice of mindful awareness, is not bringing in any other elements. There's no mantras or prayers or visualizations or exercises. We're simply opening our minds and opening our hearts to the sheer presence of life as it pours forth from within us, as it impacts our senses from outside, and how we respond and react to all of that. We're going to be offering methods of meditation which will hopefully enable us to find a point of stillness within all of these things that are going on. But it's not just about stillness, it's also about seeing ourselves inquiring into what is going on from the perspective of that still center, that calm that we try to cultivate through concentration, through focus, through mindfulness, so that we come to experience ourselves in ways that may not be that of our everyday lives, but rather from a perspective that is grounded in another quality of attention, another quality of conscious awareness. But we'll also be supporting this process by talks. I'll be giving every morning what I think is called on here a seminar, and Martine will give a Dharma talk in the evening. What I'll be doing in the morning will perhaps be somewhat more abstract, maybe less immediately practical than the talks in the evening. But what I want to explore with you are the context of ideas that inform this practice. The practice is called Satipatthana, the grounding of recollection or mindfulness, but that is not an activity that somehow stands alone and exists, as it were, in a kind of a vacuum, a simple exercise with no context. But it is an exercise that is informed by a tradition of ideas, a tradition of values, which we may call philosophy, we may call it spirituality, we might call it religion. In other words, the meditation is also a means whereby to consider, to reflect on what our lives are about, what they mean, what they are. The word seminar, unfortunately, suggests that there's going to be a sort of classroom atmosphere in here, like in a college or a school or a university. And I'd like, from the very beginning, to try to get rid of that association. I'm not interested in exploring these ideas as though they were artifacts of a Buddhist culture, in the way that we might explore them on a university course. In other words, ideas and theories and doctrines that might have some sort of objective curiosity value, but don't really concern you or me in our own lives. I'll be exploring these ideas very much in terms of how they speak to us, how they address our condition as suffering human beings in this world of all its challenges, its tragedies, and its joys. That I want to engage in a dialogue with these concepts, with these teachings. I want to struggle with them. I don't have a final definite understanding of what they mean. In fact, my whole involvement with Buddhism is an ongoing journey, and the things I've written are merely stations on the way. So I'll be sharing with you, and I'm sure Martine will too, our own ongoing reflection and study and thoughts about what the Dhamma means. And hopefully that will inspire and maybe trigger thoughts and ideas within yourselves, that hopefully what we share with you will also contribute to your own self-understanding, your own relation to your own traditions. So in the seminar, I'll spend some of that time looking at passages from texts. I will probably spend other parts exploring particular ideas that are connected to the practice of meditation more explicitly. But basically, I don't quite know what I'll be doing yet. That will hopefully emerge out of the dialogue that begins between us, the teachers, and you, the practitioners here. We'll have discussion periods at the end of each afternoon in the open forum here. And we'll also have, through the walking periods, opportunities for individual interviews in which you can bring to us whatever issues you wish, questions or personal matters you'd like to explore. And there'll be on the board outside the dining room some pieces of paper in which you can sign up to see either Martine or myself. I think, well, it depends on exactly the number of people we have, but you will all have the opportunity for at least one such interview, if not two. But at the same time, please remember that we are here available for you at all times. If there's anything that you really need to talk about, If anything that is really troubling you, then please just come to one of us or put up a note, and we'll make a point of seeing you as soon as we can. So don't feel hesitant, don't feel in any way reluctant to approach us and to engage with us. That's all I have to say.
So I'm very, also very happy to be with you here during this time, during this week, and to see that when we come on a retreat,
can you hear at the back? Yeah.
And also, especially with my French accent, if at any moment you really wonder what is she talking about, just raise your hand and we'll look and translate and see what is this word. And so this retreat, I think it's important to see that we retreat from what was planned, what happened recently. So in a way, you don't come like kind of without any condition. Each of you come with the conditions that preceded this week. Some of you might come with lots of happiness. Some of you might come with possibly not such good news. Some of you might be, poof, so, why not? So, because you see, you might have planned this 2-3 months ago, and you thought, I'm going to come to this retreat, and it's going to be so great. And then now you hear, well, I'm not so sure. You know, what am I doing here? And so in a way, to see that we come with something else. No, the door has to close by itself. It's a self-closing door. We have to accept its self-closure, even if we intend to make it do something different. And we're trying to retreat to what I would call a creative space where our potential can unfold. And really in a way so that we can rest in a certain quietness, in a certain clarity, and kind of in a way let slightly rest a certain agitation or possibly a certain confusion. And so in a way this is why the retreat is set up in the way it is, that there is a certain working period, we have a certain schedule, it is in silence, and so in a way it's also that we can really come here, we can really be here for this week. And in terms of the silence, to see that it is not to give you a hard time. I know some of you really like the silence. For the people who are new, I think it's very important to see that we are what I would call a mixed group. We have people who have meditated a lot, people who have meditated a little, and people who have never been on a retreat. So for the one who have never been on a retreat, it's going to be like entering a little of a foreign place. And especially with the silence. And the first, often, people who have never been on a silent retreat think that all these people, they look so unhappy. What am I doing with them? So first to see that the silence is not to give you a harder time, but to see that the silence is actually part of the training of the week. That when you leave, the last day of the retreat, you will be able to talk. And when you leave the retreat, you will be able to talk as much as you want for the rest of the year. So it's very important to see it as a training, as a kind of like a practice in itself. And why we ask you to be in silence is because there is a point to it. It's not just because, you know, it's because actually, for me, it's three things. One thing is that if you're in silence, it's much easier to be more quiet in the meditation generally. Also, if you're in silence, we learn to be together in a different way. Because when we are with people we don't know, the first thing is, what's your name? Where do you come from? What do you do? Where did you study? Etc., etc. So and we kind of start to create a picture of somebody. But here, we just meet each other in a silence as human beings. We are all breathing, we are all aspiring to wisdom, to compassion. So anyway, it's trying to be together in a different way. So we will be together, we won't speak, but we will communicate in a different way. So it doesn't have to be serious. If you want to smile at each other, this is fine. I am not for the retreat where you kind of don't look at anybody and look at your feet all the time. I think this is a little strange. So I will be smiling at you. But if you don't want to smile, it's fine too. You know, I don't expect you to smile. So some people will, some people won't, and I will think that they do this for their own reason and condition at that time. So that just, and so each person has a different way to be by themselves in the silence. Some people will look still very friendly, some people will look very retiring. And all this is not to annoy you. This is very important. Each person just does it because of their own condition. If there is anyone who, because possibly of some anxiety, has problem with the silence, they can come and talk to me. No problem. I'm always there to talk to anybody who needs to. So we are all there for you at that level. For me, the third reason to cultivate the silence is actually to see you will not be speaking outside. But inside, you will be speaking a lot. And so that you can see more of that inner language, inner dialogue, and to start to question it. And to see that a lot of the inner dialogue is a lot about me. It's a lot about, look at me, I am here. You know? And to see, maybe I don't need to be affirmed by anybody else. Maybe it's enough that I affirm my own existence. So this is at one level challenging, to be in the silence. Because for me it's becoming friend with ourselves, accepting fully our existence, embracing it, loving it, caring for it. So in a way, in the retreat we're cultivating the condition to develop the tools so that there can be more wisdom and more compassion. And then when we leave the retreat, the idea is really so that we then can apply them in our daily life. So the meditation is not just for this retreat, it's really in a way building up our muscle so that we can then take this back in daily life, in the way we are with ourselves, in the way we are with others and the world. As Stephen says, we are here for you, and so we're going to give suggestion. I'm going to give suggestion about the meditation. So every day at 9:30, for 5 minutes, I will give some instruction. If you want to follow them, do that. If you prefer to do something else, this is fine too. Whatever we say is not sacred. It's not like kind of the one and only way. It's just one way. So each day I will suggest something different. And it's for you to see, oh, do I want to try this today? Or do I want to remain with something else? I think each of you at that level has to become your own teacher, because you know for yourself. Is it more helpful to do the breath, the body, the sound, the feeling, questioning, loving kindness? So in a way, it's for you to have a taste of these different tools, and also to see if one might be more fitting than another. Also, Stephen will say lots of things which you might agree to or not. If you don't agree to it, don't worry. It does not, it's not 100% right, you know? So if you have different ideas, you can always, in the question, tell him you don't think he's right. It's okay. At the same time, he's trying to share his own understanding. So there will be we're going to do the meditation, sitting meditation, walking meditation. And each of us will sit, we'll do the meditation too, as much as we can. But we sit, each person sit for themselves. And at the same time, we sit in such a way that then when we go back to the world, we can have a more wise and compassionate attitude in the world. So although it seems that we kind of retreating, it's in order that when we go out, we can better respond. So it's very much kind of an exploration and a development of the quality we have within ourselves. I would call the quality of quietness and clarity the quality of stability and openness. Then there is a schedule. The schedule, for the people who have never sat before, it will look like a difficult schedule, because you know we get up at 6 o'clock, 6:15, 6:45, we sit for 45 minutes, and then we have a little break, then a little work period, then 30-minute meditation. That will be very nice. 30-minute meditation will be very appreciated by the beginners, I think. Then Stephen will talk. If when you sit on the floor, you have lots of pain, I would recommend that when you listen to the talk, you sit on a chair. Because there are chairs, you can put them at the back, and don't hesitate. You don't have to sit on the floor for the talks. So that if you have pain, this will be at least, you won't have pain then. So for us, the schedule is not too little, it's not too much. If some people want to sit more and walk more, feel free to do so. If you really cannot do the schedule, then you can always come and talk to us and we can look at that. If sitting on the floor for 45 minutes is too painful, do like myself, sit on a chair. I sit on a chair because I have sciatica, and so I cannot sit on the floor anymore. It doesn't mean that if you sit on the floor, you're going to get sciatica like Martin. I think it's because of Martin's body that Martin has sciatica, not because of the meditation. So again, it's be wise, but I'll talk more about this. What is very important is to see that this is a meditation retreat. There is no competition between anybody else or within yourself in terms of the sitting or anything else. You are not trying to have amazing experience. We are just trying to cultivate concentration and looking deeply. That's what we do in the meditation. We're just trying to cultivate awareness. And so to be careful of the expectation of having special experiences. If you came to this retreat to have special experience, then I would guarantee that you might have in 6 days possibly one or two lasting 2 seconds. So if you came only for that, it might be a little difficult. But if you came here to develop quietness and clarity, that yes, that you will do that, definitely. But what is important to see that our experience will change. This is what one thing we'll talk a lot about, change. That we're not looking for a permanent state. At time we will be bright and really present. At time we'll be so sleepy, it'll just be nearly agony to stay awake. At time I will have pain. At time you won't. Thing will change. And so to be careful with, because I feel this now, it's going to be like this every single day. At least I can guarantee you this. It will not be like this every single day, nor every single hour. So to try to be just with what is, in a kind of with acceptance and with non-judgmental awareness, to be with the feeling, the sensation, the thoughts, the sounds, whatever arises, to try to be with it in a more spacious way. And to kind of see most of the time on a meditation retreat, not much happens. And to just rest in that. Just to rest in the peacefulness of the moment, in the peacefulness of the circumstances. As to meditation, as I said, every day I'll bring a different tool of awareness, so something to focus on during the walking, the sitting, during the day, as a means to anchor us into the moment. So the breath, the body, the sound, feeling tones, question, loving kindness. And it's not that one is better than the other. It's just different way to practice. It's not different way to practice. It's different object on which to focus, which will end up doing the same. cultivating quietness and clarity, stability and openness. It's just suggestion. You see, if you have asthma, I would not recommend to focus on the breath. If you have tinnitus, sound in the ear, I would not recommend to focus on sound. So in a way, it's for you to see. I will say, try the breath. If you find it a little oppressive, then you can just focus on the body, focus on the sound, or do whatever you've done previously, which seems to work for you. Then there is the posture. So again, try to, I would hope that for the first day or two, to really kind of try to find, to explore the posture. Is it better with just one cushion? Is it better with two cushions? Is it better to kneel on the cushion? Is it better to sit cross-legged? Would it be good for me to alternate? One sitting I sit on the floor, one sitting I sit on a chair. Again, try to explore, because this is not a torture camp. There is enough suffering in the world. Our idea is not for you to suffer more than that, but it's true that if you sit on the floor, if you sit for 45 minutes, I would say the first one will be relatively okay. After it's 30 minutes, so that's okay. Next 45, the pain comes a little earlier. Then, you know, after lunch, it's a little difficult to keep awake. Then the last sitting, that might be a little painful. So to be aware that, you know, and it's for you to see, or maybe I need to have a break, meaning I sit on a chair because it will be a little easier for me. If you sit on a chair, I would recommend to sit in the middle of the chair so that you can hold your back yourself and you don't fall asleep. If you have a problem in the back, you have to sit at the back of the chair. Try to keep the back straight. Otherwise, if you do this, you're going to fall asleep, especially as it's quite hot now. So today what I would recommend would be to, in a way, focus on the breath. So we just focus our attention on the breath. We just kind of, when we say focus on the breath, is to focus on the sensation we experience when we breathe. So we don't imagine the breath, we don't force the breath. So we don't sit there. This is not a yoga breathing exercise. It's just a mean to anchor the attention on a point in our experience. So we rest the attention on the breath, we wait for the breath to happen, and we just notice first the air coming in through the nostrils, down to the lung, abdomen expanding, contracting, then the air coming out again. So again, in terms of the meditation, we can focus just on the nostril, feeling the air coming in and out. We can also focus on the abdomen, expanding, contracting. Or we can follow the whole of the breath. Again, it's for you to see what seems to be the best way for me to be aware, conscious of the breath. If you are used to count the breath and you find that useful, do that. I won't say anything about it. But if you do it and it works for you, you can also do that. And we try to be with each breath as it comes, and not anticipating the next breath, or not worrying about what's happening in the moment. You might have lots of thought, you might have lots of sensation or feelings. Just let them arise and pass away. So in a way, you're focused on the breath within a wide open awareness. So that the breath is more like an anchor, because you are with the breath a bit and then you go off. Generally you will go off in the past, in the future, planning, whatever. And then you remember, my intention is to be present. So you come back to the breath again and again. So the aim of the meditation is not that we're going to be with the breath every second. It's more to be with the breath when you can, and then to come back to the breath. Because sati, which is often translated as mindfulness, actually means recollection, remembering. So actually it's more about remembering to be present, remembering to be aware of the breath. So each time we have a thought, doesn't matter. You see, when we sit in meditation, the aim is not to have no thought. The aim is more to have space within the thought. So that the thing is that you have thought because you have a brain, which means you are alive. So it's a good idea to have thought. But not, this is a point we'll talk more about tomorrow, not to be caught in the thought and to kind of go very far away from here. So to see, I am somewhere else, I come back to the breath. I am somewhere else, I come back to the breath. In a way, the retreat is a little like a holiday. Think of it like possibly as a mental holiday, if it's possible. That if you look, most of your thoughts, you have thought them before. So it's not like, you know, the thoughts you are having are like new, original, amazing, etc., etc. Generally, you have had them before. So possibly, for a few minutes, you could kind of, you know, not need to have them again. Even possibly not need to have them until you leave the retreat, because they will be there again anyway. So, you know, we're trying to see, yes, I have all these thoughts, but I don't necessarily have to think them right now. And then coming back to the breath, with the breath helping yourself to see that we don't have to identify so quickly. So as we sit in meditation, we'll have a range of experiences. We'll have thought, we'll have feeling, we'll have sensations. But that's because we're human. We hear sounds, we're human. But we try not to get caught by them. This is the thing. We don't try to fight them either. They arise and they pass away. If we don't do anything with them, generally, they pass. They pass. And so anyway, to remember to come back. So, to see, I mean, I'll talk more about this later. But to see that what we do in meditation is a cultivation of the meditation. That's what is important, the cultivation of the meditation, not the effect of meditation. So if you sit in meditation for 2 minutes, watching the breath, and it doesn't seem to be working, don't think, it works, but not possibly the way ideally you think it should work. The only thing you have to do is focusing, because focusing will help you to become more calm, more spacious. And then what we're going to do is also to look deeply into the experience. I'll talk more about this tonight. Looking at the changing nature of the experience, not reflecting on it, but experiencing it. So experiencing the sound coming and going, the thought coming and going, the breath coming and changing, again, cool, hot. And so just to be slightly more aware, that's what Vipassana is looking deeply and being very close to the experience itself of just the fact that things are fluid, are changing. But I'll talk more about this tonight. So this is what I wanted to say. One more thing is that since there are quite a few beginners, what I would suggest is that right now we're going to have 10 minutes meditation, then we're going to have 45 minutes walking meditation, then we're going to have 45 minutes sitting meditation, and then we're going to have another walking meditation. So at 4:45, what I would like is that the beginners stay in the room and not go to the walking meditation straight away, and then to check with them that they're okay with the retreat, if there is a special question, maybe looking a bit at the posture and things like that. So if the people can stay at 4:45 and then we can look at different things. Also, as Stephen said, tomorrow we'll put a list of interviews, personal interview, one-to-one, and there should be one for every person, either with me or Stephen, but you cannot see both of us because I think of the number of people. And again, the beginners, I would encourage you to sign at the beginning. And then we make contact, and then again, we can see you later again if necessary. Or anybody who has problem with the schedule, problem with the silence, or anything like this, please sign earlier than later, because we have to meet you to know you in order to see, you know, if we can help you in any way. So that's what I wanted to say. So now we're just going to stand up just for a minute to stretch the leg, and then we'll do just a little sitting meditation. If we find a relatively comfortable posture, we find a comfortable posture. What is important is that we feel relatively stable. We feel stable. The shoulders are open. The head is resting lightly on the shoulders. And then gently we rest our attention on the breath, on the sensation we experience when we breathe. Breathing in, I am aware of the breath coming in. Breathing out, I am aware of the breath coming out. become distracted, remembering our intention to be aware, to be awake, and coming back to the breath again and again. I would like to say a few words about walking meditation. Now there is about 35-40 minutes of walking meditation. And again, this is the whole 45 minutes, but if you can only walk 10 minutes, that's okay. You can walk 10 minutes, sit down a bit somewhere, walk again 10 minutes. If you can do the whole 40 minutes, again, this is fine. If you, for whatever reason, you somebody who really need to have more exercise, then you can find a shady place and do some yoga during the walking meditation. As long as you move and you're conscious that you're moving, this is what is important. So we generally recommend to walk not so fast, but again, for some people, if they need to be moving, they then can walk faster, but then you would have to go on a longer distance. So walking meditation is in a way the transition more toward daily life meditation, because it's meditation in movement. And it's interesting to look at how do we walk. Generally, when we walk, we barely started that we already arrived, and we're generally not very conscious of walking. Or sometimes we walk and we're totally distracted and we're just on automatic pilot. Here, we're not going anywhere. We just walk for its own sake. We just walk to meditate, actually. And this is also a very nice meditation to do at home. Actually, if you do a work which is always sitting, then it might be better to do walking meditation at home than more sitting meditation. So I would really recommend during this week to try to explore this dimension of the practice of walking meditation. Or, of course, if you have a physical difficulty, you can do a bit of standing meditation. Or, of course, if you have pain in the back or some problem in your legs, you can do lying down meditation. I mean, they are the four postures. So, walking meditation, what you do is you choose a kind of a line. You try not to be in the line of somebody else. So you try, if somebody is walking this way, you try not to go back and forth that way. You try to either find a way, a place where there is nobody, or you go in the same way that they seem to be going. So you try to not, it's big enough place, but try to stay in the shade, especially in the afternoon. So you start, you find, you know, like a kind of a block, like from here to there. And we start by doing standing meditation. So again, when we stand, it's a good opportunity to do like kind of, you know, make sure the back is straight. Walking meditation is not like this. This is not good for the stomach, the back. You make sure that there is no obstacle in front. You know, don't walk in a tree, but as long as there is, you don't need to look at your feet. So you kind of, you know, try to look straight ahead of you. And you first, you stand, you feel. Then when you walk, it's more awareness of the body. So you're aware of the body instead of just one point of the body is the breath. So there you expand the awareness to just be conscious of the body. So standing, the feet on the ground, the weight of the body, the air or the wind on the cheek. But you don't grasp at any of this. You try to center yourself. The anchor is the body. And then you walk. Not too slowly. I mean, if you've done, you used to do Burmese walking, which is extremely slow, that is fine. I would not recommend it if you have sciatica. But if you want to walk very slowly, please do so. But otherwise, for beginners, I would not recommend extremely slow walking because you're going to lose your balance. So ordinary slow walking is what I would recommend. So you just walk and you try to be conscious of the body when you walk. So you can be conscious of the whole body walking, or you're just conscious of the foot touching the ground. Or you can just be conscious of the lifting. Then you get to the end, you turn, again you stand a few seconds, and then you walk again. So you can be, as I said, small point like the foot, or the leg moving, or the hip moving, or the whole body moving. And of course, when you walk, you will have more to see. You will, and this is when you can also, I'll talk more about this tomorrow evening, kind of like, you could nearly say visual meditation, but you try to focus on the body, and then you will see things, you will hear things, and you try to be aware of them and not do anything with them. I mean, unless, you know, if it's a car coming toward you, you get out of the way. It's not car coming, being. So you try, you know, a little wisdom in action. So you try to just walk and try to look, to hear in a way which is not grasping and proliferating, but just you see the color, the shape, you hear the sound, and they pass. You're with them when they're there. You let them go when they pass. So just doing that, walking up and down for about 40 minutes, and then we come back here at 4 o'clock for meditation. Yes? And of course, in the afternoon, but you Israeli, so I'm sure you're not going to walk in the sun. Walk in the shade, please.